Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
My overreaction is the Knicks are just too deep for the Cavs in this series. They're just too deep. Bart's overreaction was that with Giannis's injury, the door's open for the Knicks to get to the conference finals. That's strong. A lot of calls we've taken, Knicks related, the overreaction has been that the Knicks can sweep the series. That's strong. Still think, this is a big game. Two tomorrow night's big. We'll get deeper into like previewing the game and breaking it down and all the stuff we're looking forward to and all that. That's a big part of tomorrow's show. Right now, let's just revel in the fact that they have a 1-0 lead, a series lead for the first time in a decade. They won a road playoff game for the first time in a decade. They won a road game one for the first time since, how about this, 1999. A road playoff game one. They have 17 of them in franchise history, which is the most in NBA playoff history. But the fact that it's been 24 years since the last one, and that was the Pacers game one in the Eastern Conference Finals. They won that, and they ended up winning that series in six. So I'm telling you, winning a series in six when you're the road team, you got to get one of the first two, obviously. And they got one. So they took care of business already with even more pressure to apply if they want going forward. But, Bart, as we continue with overreactions, I got another one for you. You ready for this one?
Yes, I am.
Gerrit Cole's the best pitcher in baseball right now.
Alan, are you the same person that had – selective outrage about the parades and all the flowers we were throwing at the Tampa Bay Rays who lost this weekend? Are you that same guy and you're ready to talk about who's the best pitcher today? Can we even begin to have this conversation?
The Why
fact
not?
That Verlander hasn't even stepped on the diamond yet?
So?
The fact that Scherzer's still figuring it out, we just going to give it – or do we care about the first four or five starts, or do we care about the totality of everything?
I care about the totality of everything, but I also care about what I'm seeing to begin a season, and he's
Have
doing
stuff. Have we checked him for Spider Tacky 3000 IVs?
I think what we're checking is that he has shorter hair. maybe the pitch clock works. I don't know. All I know is this, is that he opened the season setting a Yankee record on opening day with 11 strikeouts. And that in his four starts, he's 4-0. And with an ERA under one, that he just went a full nine innings, complete game, 10 strikeout shutout to beat the Twins 2-0.
Who the hell had
– That he's the first Yankees pitcher to have over 30 strikeouts, a sub-1 ERA – in the first four appearances of a season. He's had a hell of a start, and he's pitching like the best pitcher in baseball. That's why I have that as my reaction. And, in fact, I call it overreaction Monday. I don't even think it's overreaction.
What is DeGrom doing in Texas? Because I heard Texas got a great
Well, John Heyman wrote something in the Post today, and he had a great line. He said that DeGrom has more MRIs lately than he does pitching appearances.
Oh, that's disrespectful.
Is he wrong?
That's disrespectful.
Is he wrong?
Can't do that to Grom.
Now, Ohtani has made four appearances. He also has a sub-1 ERA. But, he's only won two of those games because, again, Angels. Also has given up three home runs, but he has 25 strikeouts. So, again, you want to put Ohtani on that level.
As far as pitching, we don't.
But
think
Cole
Ohtani's.
Has been phenomenal. And by the way, remember the home run last year was his big. I mean, he just last year early in games he gave up home runs and it was maddening. This year that has not been the problem. He's had great control. He's used the fastball when needed. The previous outing he wasn't feeling his fastball, so he went other stuff, which shows you his range and his confidence. I just think right now he's in a great groove. It's great to see, and it's worth pointing it out. As we complain about salaries, we complain about money, how much they gave this guy. And, yeah, I'm with you. He still has to get it done in the postseason when it matters most, just like he and Judge and everybody else. They got to carry them to a championship. I'm still on that train. But I think at times we have to stop and also give flowers when necessary. And he's off to a phenomenal start, one that the franchise has never seen. And it's worth talking about where he ranks among the best. and I would put him at the top right now.
Okay, I got you. I got you. It's like the teams that come out and win early. Yeah, the cream doesn't rise to the top yet. But listen, seems like he has more control. I know we talked about the spin rate. I would wonder what his spin rate is. You know, when you think about, you know, his spin rate dropping when he left from Houston, you know, and so many people speculated. He talked about the spider tacky 3000, and, you know, maybe he's really got back to form. So, listen, I'm happy for him, right? I'm happy for him because they're going to need him to be a true ace, and he has been that for the better part of the last year and a half to now. He has been that. We know that he's a cerebral type of pitcher. You know, he's very thoughtful, has his routine. And, it's going to be the fact that he's going to have to go to Houston and he's going to have to be able to – you're going to have to be able to bank those games in which he pitches in to get you two. And so as soon as you lock in, the better.
It's just when you have the injuries that they have to their starters, come on, man. Like, you have to recognize – When your ace is pitching like an ace, when you have other guys who are not available to you, your number two and number three pitchers are not available right now. So, like, the when you talk about the stopper, you need a stopper. That's what he is. You get your guy, and he steps up early in the season when you need him most. It matters. He's locked in, and Aaron Boone loves it.
Just his command of everything. He's in rhythm with the clock. He's just... whatever happens out there, and look, a lot of things obviously went right today, so there wasn't a lot of, you know, adversity, but he's just handling situation after situation so well. But I think it's his fastball command and the fact that he's pressuring it in a lot of different places in the strike zone has been huge for him. You know, his secondary stuff I thought was all played an important role, all of them, but that's a big time performance right there. He's special pitcher, and he's just in a really locked-in, focused place.
And oh, by the way, Bart, you know one thing about Cole that's pretty amazing is, you know,
probably
winning a Cy Young.
He's going to get one, maybe more. I mean, he's going to be in that conversation every year and has been now for a number of years. So he's in a great place right now, and, you know, look forward to seeing him going back out there in a few days.
It bothers you, doesn't it?
How many Ks does he have?
Bothers you, doesn't it? 32.
32? Yeah. Okay, so we're just
that's a lot in four starts.
No, I got it. So we just need Senga to get 12, and we right there because he's only pitched two games. He got 21.
What do you mean he's only pitched two games?
Ghost pitch.
Wait. What do you mean he's only pitched two games?
I'm just talking.
You're just talking.
Yeah, but I think Cole has started more games than him. I think he's pitched more because he's the third pitcher, so it makes sense, right?
No,
well,
it doesn't.
They're going to skip Serger's start, right? Which was surprising.
You're confusing me.
Serger's going to
making me do your research for you, by the way, which is really frustrating.
Serger is going to miss his start, a little tightness.
But they're not going to. They don't move people up. They just put someone in. Hang on a second, because now I'm doing your research for you.
Thank you.
He's made three appearances.
Okay, how many?
He has 21 strikeouts. So he'll have to have an 11 strikeout performance to tie Cole.
When it's something strange in your neighborhood,
so annoying.
Who you gonna call? Ghost pitching. No, I'm saying you just want to illuminate how great Cole is, but you just want to diss Senga.
I'm not diss. Wait. How is it that I'm dissing someone by highlighting another pitcher's performance?
Because you just said that he's the best in the world. He may not be the best in New York.
That's ridiculous.
If you ask Senga. And when Verlander comes back and Serger,
How many walks does Senga have?
See, I hate that I let you do my research because now you got access to all of it.
Huh? You want to play this game. If you want, like, it is Overreaction Monday.
But listen, it ain't my fault. It's not my fault that Senga's used to painting the borders and these refs ain't used to seeing the ghost pitch.
Refs?
And they don't really know – well, the umps. they ain't used to seeing the ghost pitch, and they don't know how to recognize
this
the uniqueness
painful.
Of the ghost pitch.
This is painful. Tell you what. Let's move on from baseball. 800-919-3776 is the number. Because we do have another overreaction to get to.
Senga.
The overreaction that I will now add is this. And stop yawning in my face. If when Jalen Hurts just the deal that was announced today, in Jalen Hurts signing what is a 5-year deal, or at least agreed to a 5-year deal,
mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter reporting. 5 years at $255 million,
mm-hmm.
$179 million guaranteed,
mm-hmm.
The largest contract per year in NFL history. $51 million. So well, now he's ahead of Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, and only Deshaun Watson has more in guarantees. So what my overreaction is, this is exactly what the Ravens didn't want to see, because if you're Lamar Jackson, now you've got another example of, wait a minute, this guy ain't got my resume, and they're giving him almost $180 million guaranteed.
And they're paying him early. So it's an extension. So you forget that he was a second-round draft pick, so it's an extension. So we don't even know when that new money kicks in. He can get a signing bonus, but we don't know when that new money even kicks in. And this is what the Ravens failed to do. Pay their star when they recognize that he's a star. So after Lamar Jackson won the MVP, they should have gave this dude a long-term contract, and
right.
It would have been outdated by now. Because guess what? Jalen Hurts is the highest-paid player in NFL history at the quarterback position. By the end of July –
24 years old.
By the end of July, he'll be the fifth highest-paid player in the NFL. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
That's
like,
true.
He only got this title for 2 months. Because Justin Herbert may get more, because in my opinion, he's more talented. And you look at, okay, Joe Burrow is going to get it. Yeah. And then after all that's been said, Patrick Mahomes is going to say, whoa, whoa, my Brodies. I love what you guys are doing. I'm happy you got your cheese on your taco. We're going to have to push some more money up in here, because there's no way in hell that I'm going to be paid less than Aaron Rodgers,
mm-hmm.
less than Kyler Murray, less than Russell Wilson, less than Jalen Hurts, less than Joe Burrow, less than Justin Herbert, less than Josh Allen. I'm going to need y'all to come see me. There's no way ever that Patrick Mahomes is going to be the eighth highest paid quarterback in the league. I don't care how much money they gave him. Like, nah, the market's changed. You're going to need to make me feel good.
I need to correct myself, too, because I thought Kyler Murray got less guaranteed.
He got 184.
His guarantee is 189.5, so
yes.
Actually Hurts is third at 179.3. So you already had Kyler there at 189.
And his is incentive-based.
I mean, that's why it actually
hurts Lamar Jackson.
Why?
Because, once again, this is a guy that they can say, oh, he took the team to the Super Bowl. Yeah, you gave him A.J. Brown. You gave me Odell Beckham. Just think. They paying Odell Beckham the same price they paying A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown's got a lot more juice, you know what I mean, left. Right?
Oh,
so
no
if
doubt.
Lamar Jackson don't look good with these new weapons, they're like, hey, we got you weapons. No, you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
You got me a dude coming off 2 knee surgeries.
Right, double ACL.
And approaching 30. Where
so,
AJ
no,
Brown
wait, wait.
Young.
But that, see it again. But don't you think that if you're Lamar, I got now – a guy at 230, a guy at 190 with incentives.
Yeah, but it's going backwards.
And a guy at 180 and a no trade clause.
Mm, but it's going backwards. That's the problem. Jalen Hurts was supposed to say.
Wait. But you could say that, but it's not like it's going backwards. Oh, I'm supposed to be
no.
under Jalen Hurts?
No, yeah, I got that, but they're going to say Jalen Hurts made it to the Super Bowl.
Really?
And they're going to blame that on him. And
that's roster. That's not,
the,
that's not
yeah,
player. That's roster.
Say, I know, because Lamar Jackson was the MVP. They're going to say, well, he was up for MVP too. But this is the
went.
Thing. Jalen Hurts did a bit of a disservice to the quarterback club, because what he was supposed to say, okay, if Kyler Murray got 189, I need
195.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then Joe Burrow was supposed to say, then Justin Herbert was supposed to say, all right, well, I need 200.
But what's more valuable to you, Bart? Getting the 190 or 195 or that no trade clause?
mean, I don't care about the no trade.
You don't care about having the ability to control if they want to move on from you, that I can control where I go? First of all, not an easy contract to move. It's $50 million.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, if he's unhappy, that team that he goes to is going to want him to take, you know, do a new deal.
So, but at least I can control where I'm going.
Yeah, that's true. But I'd rather get my guaranteed money.
So you don't think that's all right? So you don't? Well, I mean, you're also talking about him looking for 15 more million in guarantees. 15?
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, is that big of a deal when you're 15. Making 50 a year?
15 guarantee, yeah, because that's the
15
money
guarantee over a 5-year span.
See, but listen,
that's
listen.
Not a lot. That's three million in guarantees.
No, Alan, it's 5 years, but it's really six because it's extension. It's not a new deal,
right?
So it's really a 6-year deal.
Even less than, but it's even less than that. My guarantee point. Is even less. My that's point. Not a lot of money per year to matter.
But they cut you. That's 15 million that you wish you would have. That's 15 million. That if they decide to move on, that they got to pay you, and then it also gives you more protection because they can't cut you.
In the wake of this, how does what the Giants did with Daniel Jones look now?
I mean, it's super smart. It's super smart, but then people will argue that Daniel Jones isn't in the same class as Jalen Hurts. And so it's not apples to apples. You know,
I'm not saying in the same class. I'm just saying that he had 1 year. You took care of him. People thought a ridiculous amount of money for a guy like Daniel Jones. But when you look at it,
yeah,
isn't it sort of in the range of where he would be? As he's not even a top 10.
Yeah.
Right? He's not even in the top 10 paid quarterbacks.
Yeah, 40 is the new 36 or 37.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? The team that got the best deal is Seattle with Geno Smith.
Well, and also the fact that he's older.
Yeah.
Geno Smith's 33 years old.
Right.
And they're probably
going to draft this replacement this year.
Yeah. So, again, I don't know.
It's smart accounting by them, but let's see if they mess it up and give it to Saquon.
Well, that's the other story here is what happens on that front too with the Giants. Brian Daboll was talking recently about the contract negotiations and whether or not he's been in touch with these guys. Because remember – The Giants and the Jets, everybody opens their offseason workout camps and all that stuff now.
Yeah,
and we all get silly when we start talking about, Quinton Williams isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, Saquon's not there. It's like, yeah, because Quinton Williams wants a contract. So you don't show up, right? You don't have to. These are voluntary. You don't have to go.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be there. So anyways, here's Daboll talking about Saquon's situation.
Yeah, it's April 17th. I mean, again, I'm going to keep all those conversations private. That's the way I'll always do it. Again, excited about the guys that are here. Much respect for Saquon and those things. At some form or sometime, we'll find itself working out.
And Daniel Jones also on his teammate.
You know, everyone's got their own situation, and I'll keep the conversations we had. Those are personal conversations, and obviously he's a good friend of mine, good teammate, and I'm hoping for the best for him. And like I said, there's a business side to all this. He's a great teammate, great friend. Everyone in the building knows that, and support him through it all.
So let's do another overreaction, Bart. Overreaction Monday again. 800-919-3776. You and I talked about this last week, and here it is again. When we got the news about Devin White wanting out in Tampa Bay, you and I both kind of had that same look when we talked about it offline. And we both said, like, I asked you right away, is this a good fit for Wink and the Giants? And you said, yeah. Nothing has come so far over the last couple of days. No inklings at all about anybody trying to make a trade for him. But you told me this is a top 5 player at his position.
Yeah.
And so if I'm the Giants and I have Wink Martindale, who's going to be aggressive, as we know, I know you have to worry about your corners. You got to take care of your secondary because they're going to have to do a good job knowing you're not going to have a lot of help back there.
Yep.
So with that in mind, I'm going to say the Giants should be aggressive and they should make him a priority more than they should make signing Saquon to a multi-year deal.
Yeah.
They should make a move for Devin White because that defense – are you trying to compete in this division that has the Eagles who went to the Super Bowl, Dallas who's definitely kind of reloading here and changing up some stuff and has a lot of pressure in there? Like, I feel like if you're the Giants, this feels like such a Giants move linebacker has been at the it's been in the fabric of this franchise from the very beginning. This would be a great move for them to make, but it's been quiet. It doesn't sound like there's much going on there.
Well, one, you got to make sure to see if Tampa is willing to move off the pick. You know, you got Arizona with Buda Baker putting in a request for him to be traded as well.
Yeah,
outstanding
that.
Safety for mm-hmm. Arizona. Now, Arizona has Kyler Murray that they won't have to the middle of the year. They got guys that are requesting trades. And you look at it, you know, Devin White would solve so many problems for you. One, he's going to shut down. Now, I know they went out and they got the linebacker, Kirike, from Indianapolis.
Right.
But he like I said, he's top five in his position. It's not five linebackers better in this league than Devin White. And you have an opportunity to get him and still have him on his rookie deal because he's only at $11 million on his fifth-year option. So you still can do that and don't have to break the bank and give him a signing bonus or anything like that. And also, like you talk about Dallas Goedert in here, right, with all the attention you have to put on A.J. Brown, all the attention you have to put on Devin Smith, Devontae Smith. All the assets you have to go there with the safeties.
CeeDee Lamb. I mean, think about also when you're playing the Cowboys.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cook. And now now specifically with the team because Schultz went to Houston. So Schultz left Dallas. So they don't mm-hmm. have that vertical threat at tight end like, say, Philadelphia. Remember what Joseph and White did in the Super Bowl against Travis Kelce? They shut him down. So you need linebackers that can be three down linebackers with the speed and the defense radius of a Devin White that can play these tight ends man-to-man and run with them and also affect their ability to complete the ball. I think it's a no-brainer in my opinion. If you can get them, you also hurt Tampa and you help yourself. I mean, because somebody's going to make a trade for them and they're going to get themselves a hell of a football player. This is – you know, I think I would put him above Raekwon Smith. And Raekwon Smith has got $100 million with the Ravens. Devin White is right there. It's him, Fred Warner. Some people might like C.J. Mosley. You got Parsons. But Parsons, he's going more back to the defensive line, pass rushing. So as far as stand-up guys that can affect the game on three downs, I mean, it don't get too much better to me, in my opinion, than Devin White, Super Bowl champion. That's only in his fourth year in the league from, I believe, LSU.
The defense at the foundation of the Giants' greatness throughout their years in the franchise. And when you think about it, if you can't build up an offense to keep up with some of the other offenses in this league, then the defense has to be elite. And adding a player like this would make your defense elite. We have heard nothing so far from the Giants' side of this. But if he wants a trade, and the Bucs will listen to trade offers, why wouldn't you be all in on something like this? 800-919-3776 is the number. We'll keep the call stacked back, ready to go. Your overreactions as we play Overreaction Monday. Coming up next, you know what time it is. Time for audio files. We hear from Ja and how he feels after injuring his hand. We hear from LeBron about the supporting cast around him, including one particular player that he said he knew the minute he saw him he was going to be it. And one of our ESPN experts, one of our analysts, this is all part of like what's behind the scenes when you are making appearances on shows and you're on the road. Something that happened to one of our favorite people that caused him to have to whisper while he was doing his appearance on a show this morning.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio Files.
The Audio Files.
All right, let's begin with this because I found this to be actually hilarious. So watching Get Up this morning, Brian Windhorst is on. Now, he's covering the Suns series with the Clippers. Excuse me, I'm just coughing for a minute.
Get on tight.
And Wendy's in a hotel. So he's making his appearance on Get Up in his hotel room. And note the time now, because Get Up starts at 8 a.m. Eastern. He's right out in Phoenix.
Ooh,
and so he's in his room, and they have the setup that they give you, the whole iPad. You've done it before. You know the deal.
Yeah, yeah.
Set up in his room, and he's sitting there, and he has his backdrop. If you ever watch it, you could see certain people. You could tell if they're not. They're either home or they're not. They're in a hotel. So Wendy, in the beginning, is being typical Brian Windhorst and giving you his takes and his, all, you know, his way of delivering information, which is always entertaining. And then all of a sudden, we noticed that he started to whisper. It's like he brought his voice down, and every time he spoke, he was just kind of talking like that with that. So Brian Custer, who is the host, they had to find out what's going on.
Wendy, I'm trying to figure out, why are you the only one whispering? Everyone else is answering questions and talking. You're whispering. Why are you whispering?
Well, we all have adverse situations, and apparently someone in the hotel room next to me was not a Get Up viewer and not happy about the early wake-up call here in Phoenix. And let's just say that messages have been delivered not in a soft manner. I'm trying to avoid having a wrap on any part of my body.
Did the hotel manager tell you, knock on your door and say, quiet down in there?
This individual did not contact the manager, but their point was made very strongly. So I'm trying to respect my neighbors here in Phoenix before 7 a.m.
The guy came on, was pounding on his door.
Yo, shut the hell up! Nobody gives a damn about your takes!
Right? Like, he just had it with him.
How loud was he talking?
Well, I mean, it's just when you do a show, you know, you have to project. Now, many times in the past, I have done that where, you've done it too. I'm sure, take a Comrex with you. You're in your hotel room, you plug everything in and you do. I've done shows from hotel rooms before, and I've like kind of wondered, can they hear me? Mm-hmm. Normally, you can't hear anybody, but I guess when it's 6 a.m. or what time would that have been? 8 a.m. So 5, yeah. 6 a.m. It would have been 5 or yeah. 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, that it would definitely bother you. But we don't really, you don't pay attention to stuff. When you're watching shows, you just kind of see everybody on making their appearances. You don't think to yourself, like, yo, it's like 5:30 a.m. right now. Wendy's talking, and his neighbor must be pissed, and he was.
Like, right, anyway. I just got in, son.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on. Lakers Grizzlies, another series, very interesting there. Like, you know what? Let's stay on the first series since we were on it. The Clippers and the Suns. The Clippers get the win in Game One. Russell Westbrook, he didn't have a great game.
That's an understatement.
He was 3-for-19, but his defense late was phenomenal. He did had a great stop on Devin Booker. But then, in typical Russ fashion, he's leaving the court. There's an area in that arena where you go past like a loungy area heading to the locker room.
Exactly.
and a fan got mouthy with him.
Watch your mouth.
Take it like a man.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. Say like that. Watch your mouth.
Talk about it. Be about it.
So watch your mouth is Russ.
About it, be about it. Yeah.
Well, yeah, watch your mouth is Russ. And the other part of the guy yelling, be a man, take it like a man, talk about it, be about it, was the fan who apparently was like yelling crap at him. Which side are you taking on this one? Should Russ just keep walking and ignore it?
I mean, when he say take it like a man, he should just let him like, all right, take it like a man. Like they should just let him like, all right, probably verbal contract, you won't sue. Let's fight. Since you think you tough, because that old boy stood up, and I watched the video. Old boy stood up.
Yep.
Russ walked in there.
You couldn't tell he stood up. He wasn't gonna.
Yeah, until you just beat the hell out of somebody, ain't nobody gonna respect it. Like this is like all these. You know, have you ever been sitting with like this used to happen in football all the time? Guys be trying to act like they fake fight, and then you just move out the way, and then they stop. You ever see that meme where they got the dogs? They be barking and say, rah, 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 yeah. And then they move the gate, open the gate, and they shut up.
Yeah.
They close the gate. Rah, rah. Yeah. That's what sometimes I think fans do. Like, and maybe the fan could kick Westbrook's ass.
Didn't look like.
But
he
let's
could.
Just see. Let's just go
just
ahead and
visually. I'm gonna. Visually, my money would go on Russ in this.
It's important to see somebody. You know, you've seen him come up there looking like Wakanda when he came in with his short set with his shirt open. You know what I mean? Abbed up. You know, all eight of them. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead and let somebody. Go ahead and try it. Let's just go ahead and see.
Nah, you know how that works. The minute you do anything, touch me, I sue.
You
touch
me
and I sue.
You heard me, punk. Touch me and I sue.
Touch me and I sue. All right. Meanwhile, Grizzlies-Lakers series suddenly took a turn. The Lakers won game one, but the bigger story coming out of it is Ja Morant landing awkwardly on an already injured left hand, and now it's hurt even more. He left the game, did not return, and listen to this exchange with reporters as he was asked about how much pain he's feeling and would he be available for game two.
I'm in a good bit of pain. It's my hand.
Coach said that the x-rays were negative, so that's some good news. Any doubt in your mind you're going to be able to play Wednesday night in game two?
Yeah.
There is a jeopardy, you think?
Yeah.
Any doubt? Yes, there is.
He's just doing that so he can set him up for the banana in the tailpipe.
Another year he gets hurt in the postseason after the year that he's had personally, the Grizzlies have had. And this starts to become a serious concern. I mean, for a guard, that just to be able to gather, to control the ball. Jay Will did a great thing on Get Up this morning, just demonstrating how, like, opposing defense is just, all right, we know your hands here. We're going to whack away at that hand. You're going to feel it every single time. It's tough. That's tough news. But on the other side of it, you have Austin Reeves just going off. He yells, I'm him. Just going off with dagger shots left and right.
Yeah,
Austin Reeves, a guy who's on a two-way contract in the middle of the season. They sign him, and he's become a revelation for the Lakers. He had a great game. Rui Hachimura had a great game making threes. But listen to LeBron James, who didn't have to do anything in the fourth quarter at all for them to win this game. Talking about he always knew about Austin Reeves.
I knew from the first practice that we had when we grabbed him that he wasn't going to be a two-way player for long. And then a couple weeks went by, I knew he was going to get a guaranteed contract at some point. I've been around the game long enough to know great basketball IQ players. And I know the type of players that fit with my game. And I knew Austin would be that right away. So, and I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Vogel on just throwing him into the fire and let him learn on the fly and allowing him to make mistakes and allowing him just to play through a lot of stuff. But I knew the type of player that we was able to get. It's not surprising what he was doing tonight. I'm extremely happy for him and I want him to do it again.
LeBron knew.
He knew. That's why he made it. Listen, the kid is one of those stories. I don't know if this is a Jeremy Lin type of story, but the kid got game. I mean, he got swag, and, you know, it's not he's been doing it over the course of the year.
Undrafted, I mean? 2 years at Oklahoma, 2 years at Wichita State. Basically was, you know, a G League two-way guy, and now he's one of the most important supporting role players that LeBron has. Think about that. Quite a climb. But LeBron knew. The minute he played with him, he knew.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what. One thing I like that he said is that you let him play through mistakes and try to figure it out. When you have a player and you know there's something there, you could see it, but he's going to have to, you know, get his bearings, you got to let him play through mistakes. And this is an immediate, you know, results business. A lot of times people don't want to live through mistakes, but it's paying off right now for the Lakers. All right, meanwhile, the Knicks took a 1-0 lead in their series with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And you've got the Cavs talking all about physicality, and now they're going to have to punch first, and all these different things that they have brought up here in that regard. And it is something to me that I always go to the local coverage to get a real feel about how they, you know, how does your fans feel about the game? So let's go to ESPN Cleveland, and they have a conversation about the Cavaliers' performance against the Knicks in game one. And let's just say they weren't very impressed.
The Knicks hit some big shots late in that game. Big.
And they and got two huge offensive rebounds.
Yeah, well, 17 in the game is ridiculous.
Seven in the fourth quarter is ridiculous.
So how do I have 2 7-foot guys, and I'm getting out-rebounded 51-38 in a playoff game? How is that possible?
We had looked at the numbers, and we knew this was a problem. But Mobley, Riz, I don't think could play worse than he played in game one. He was 4 of 13. He got pushed around. I didn't think he made a great impact on defense. I thought Mitchell Robinson and Julius Randle totally ate his lunch.
How about that? Now, they have the 2 7-footers. Their defense, a big part of these two guys, Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. And they're right. The Knicks' bigs just beat them up physically, out-physicaled them. Mobley had some defensive moments, but him in the paint, he couldn't score in the paint. He was a mess. And he got knocked around a lot. Now, you're going to tell me that he's all of a sudden just going to turn into Karl Malone in one day? I think it's a big problem for the Cavs that their bigs are tall, but they're light.
Finesse, yeah.
And the Knicks guys are tougher, more physical. And if they can just continue to do that, Donovan Mitchell can go for 40 every night. It's not going to matter if your bigs are just not strong enough to handle your opponent's bigs.
Yeah, I want them to stay intimidated, right? You know what I mean? And, you know, Mitch Robinson's got to continue to be physical. And let's see. Like, we'll know that they got him. The Knicks got him when you see them complaining and getting some technical fouls and not getting back in transition. Ooh. Or start pointing fingers and yelling at each other. And I feel like if they lose game two, we're going to be there, right? Because, you know, this team, I believe, understands that it's not deep enough. Even though you look at their top five, their starting five, four, you can put that up there as talented as anybody. I think Evan Mobley is going to be a superstar. You know, I love Jared Allen, what he brings. He's continuing to get better. And then Donovan Mitchell and Garland. You know, these are, you know, two all-stars right there. You know, but you got to understand that you can't be just top-heavy in this league. Because when you get to these, and you need to have a tight 7-man rotation, and they had to give up a lot of assets, you know, to get Donovan Mitchell. So this is what Knicks fans were talking about you know, depth. Not giving up so much depth,
yep.
And future, because they've experienced it through Carmelo Anthony.
Yep.
And I think so. This is what made, you know, Knicks fans able to really say, you know what, they're asking for too much because we can't give away quickly and RJ Barrett. Because when somebody's off, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers, if somebody's off out of your core that you're dependent on, then who's going to be able to pick up the slot?
It's the ultimate I told you so if the Knicks win this series, and they win it because of their depth. The ultimate I told you so is you don't give up all that for one player.
I mean, R.J. Barrett not playing well isn't talk about depth, because if he's not playing well, then there's no depth, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not going to matter. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Tom.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Bart, you see the Charles Barkley commercial where he talks about his favorite player, and it happens to be him as a younger player, and it's like a young Charles Barkley sitting next to him?
Yeah, I was wondering if that was AI.
I don't know if it's AI. It looked like CGI. You mean CGI.
Yeah. But you know, they say you can do that with the new AI.
They did it with, if you remember in one of the, you probably don't, when they brought a young Luke Skywalker back into the final trilogy of Star Wars. Yes, I'm nerding out right now. But you see him. Not, was it that or was it Mandalorian? Now I'm trying to remember.
But you see a young, actually
it was Mandalorian. You could see a young Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, how do they do that when they use Mark Hamill, the actor's voice,
yeah,
but they were able to make him look young again? It's amazing. And that's kind of what they're doing here. But isn't that crazy to see Charles Barkley sitting next to Charles Barkley?
And skinny. Right. The mustache was a little off. It looked like him, but it looked just like him.
No, that looked like him, man. I mean, I guess his skin was too perfect. Maybe that's the one thing I would say, that why it looked fake was because it didn't look like real human skin. It almost looked like it was too perfect.
But you can do that with the holograms too, you know what I mean?
Wild. We're not far away from like concerts where we just bring back an artist from the past, mm-hmm, and they still perform.
And
they can make money off that.
Well, they made new songs using Jay-Z's voice, and it's not Jay-Z's song.
Well, I heard about that, too. That's
the
nuts.
The chat GPT, and now they're saying who really owns if you make something.
Yeah.
Or if you make a fake Basquiat as well.
If I own your – once again, it goes back to that whole name, image, likeness. If I own the rights to your music, do I own the rights to make a music video of you performing the song without using you?
But that's the thing. The AI was making its own original music using Jay-Z's voice. Whoa. That's the thing.
Whoa.
They're using Jay-Z's voice, but the AI was making its own music.
So writing your own lyrics and then performing them but sounding like him.
Exactly. But it's an original song. I wonder if artists just use make AI to make a song and get rid of producers. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, make me a song with a Maria type of twang, or what's your favorite rap song, right? You always quote Logic or something like that.
Yep.
So what if he says, all right, make me something like 96 with a little meaner twist or with a newer twang? That's what you put in the AI when you put in the information, and they'll make it for you. Also, they're saying you can take like a Basquiat and say, make me a painting, and it can be an original painting. So now you're thinking about NFT deals and stuff like that. What if people are using it and creating artwork that's not theirs, but artificial intelligence is making it for you, but you own it because you're the one told them to make it? So now you flood the market with all these unique art that look like Basquiat that was done with a computer.
You take like a Monet.
Yeah.
And then you just use pointillism, but you use it generated by a computer, and it looks just as much of a masterpiece as when Monet did it.
Exactly. All right, give me a Mona Lisa, but make her like Pamela Greer. Like, damn! Mona, love ya.
Pam Greer as Mona Lisa.
Yes.
Mona Lisa.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that'd be crazy. That's crazy, right? But that's where we at, man. So then like, what happens is, like, the real artists out there, what can you do? Because you got to compete with all these other people that don't have to have your talent to create your art. It's crazy.
It is crazy. 800-919-3776 is the number. So, all right, I'll tell you here, and then we're going to get into it deeper, obviously, in the next hour. We're already at the Power Hour, by the way, Bart Skinner.
What?
We're flying through this show, yes. You'll hear from Tom Thibodeau next, but just so those who are wondering. So Josh Hart had a phenomenal game one, which, by the way, was his first playoff game of his career. He was fourth on the list of active players who had not appeared in a playoff game yet. He was over 300 games played.
Didn't he come from the Pelicans?
He came from there, and obviously Portland, the different play, the Lakers, everywhere he left, and then they made the playoffs. But I think he was in the Anthony Davis deal, and he was in the CJ McCollum deal as well. So, anyways, he was 17-10, phenomenal game, huge three-pointer. Did that three on a bum ankle. So right now, he has a sprained left ankle. He participated in some practice today, but not really a lot, getting treatment. And this is why those two games off between games is so valuable, because he had yesterday to rest and get treatment, today to get rest and get treatment, and then all day tomorrow before the game tomorrow night at 7:30 for him to get right and appear. Do I think he's going to miss the game? Hell no. But the fact that he's got something bothering him is a bit of a concern. But the 2 days off, so valuable.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.